Thursday night travel on Nightlife.
We're off to Mexico tonight with travel writer, blogger and editor Celeste Mitchell. Celeste, good evening and welcome to Nightlife.
Good evening, Philip. How are you?
I'm very well. Mexico City, it's one of the largest, most sprawling, out-of-control cities in the world. So how many people live there now? 85 million or something?
Oh, it feels like that, absolutely. When you fly in, when you're coming into land in Mexico City, it's really unbelievable. We were arriving right on sunset and I just couldn't get over the sprawl. Like, it really just does extend out into the foothills of the mountains. And, you know, they say that the population is around, it's close to 9 million in the city, but it really sprawls up to about 21 million. So it's definitely a huge city.
It sort of seems to fill that entire, because it's in a valley, isn't it?
Yeah.
It just fills the valley from horizon to horizon.
It certainly does, yeah. And it's really an incredible sight to fly into.
Mm. All right. How do you cope with it? How do you cope with Mexico City anyway?
Well, I was a little bit daunted, I have to admit. This was the first time that I'd been there. We flew in December last year and I'm planning to spend 3 months in Mexico. So we're really hoping that we loved it. You know, it seems really daunting when you see the size of that city and you just think it's going to be noisy and overwhelming and, you know, people everywhere. But I think it's really about where you choose to base yourself and where you stay. We were staying in a neighbourhood called La Condesa. Mm-hmm. And it's not far from the main Centro Histórico, but I guess it just had a really lovely, leafy feel. It's a little bit more of a higher-end kind of neighbourhood and pretty much just lots of trendy hipster people walking their dogs. And it felt really safe, really lovely. And there's just moments where you think, how can I be in this incredibly huge city? And it feels so calm.
Mm. Well, you're right about that, aren't you? Because, there are some wonderful things to see right in the centre and the old, the central plaza and so on. But
yes.
But a lot of people in Mexico City, that's right, just live in their districts in a sense, don't they? Because the rest of it's too vast. And also getting around is not easy.
Well, that's it. It depends on where you want to go. But we found, we were there probably about 2 weeks all up, and we went several times during the 3 month period. And we really, stuck to that main area purely because there was so much to see near there. You had the beautiful Great Park near there where you have the Anthropology Museum. You can catch an Uber to Frida Kahlo's Museum or get into the city quite easily as well. So into the center. Historico. So it's, I feel like we were just in that tiny little triangle and there's obviously so much more to see, but we absolutely filled the 2 weeks there.
Mm. Yes, the Frida Kahlo Museum is terrific, isn't it? And did you go and see the houses that she, or the house that she lived in with her lover as well?
We didn't get to that one, unfortunately. But yeah, at the museum, which was her childhood home where she grew up. Leading up to this trip, I recently watched the Frida film, which was out quite a few years ago now with Salma Hayek, and just to, you know, bring myself up to speed on that. And so that was really interesting, having watched that and learned more about Frida Kahlo and visiting. But it makes it very popular as well. She's become such an icon of Mexico, and it's interesting talking to some of the locals whether they think that that's a good thing or not. But it's certainly very popular. We were told to book our tickets online, which made it, that was a really huge help, because then you can just book a time period and go there and go straight in. So they do get quite lengthy queues.
Mm. Other places in Mexico you went to include Oaxaca. Now, that's a fantastic place. So ancient.
It is, yeah, and also very hard to pronounce unless you have heard someone else say it before. But it's, from everyone that we spoke to, Oaxaca is really seen as the real Mexico. That's where Mexicans really want to visit. And I think because it's just so rich and authentic, such a strong history there, and also because the indigenous communities are still very much conversing in their local languages, living as they were many, many years ago. And, it's the centre of all things food and crafts and culture. So it's a fascinating place to visit. The city itself is beautiful. There's lots of colourful colonial-style buildings, great parks, and it's just one of those places that you want to walk around for hours. But also diving into the markets, you know, there's such... everywhere you go in Mexico, you obviously want to visit the local market, and the markets in Oaxaca are just, you know, you could go there every day and find something new. So, yeah, it was fantastic.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Don't buy a rug too quickly.
No.
grasshoppers is one of the odd things on the menu in Oaxaca too. Did you try some?
Yeah. So, well, it's one of those things you think, oh, God, I don't know if I could try that. But, you know,
in fact, they're good, aren't they?
Well, they are. They're really tasty. And, you know, it's sort of like this delicious chili and lime crunchy snack. And, you know, they've been eating them for centuries. And also the chicatanas, the flying ants, you know, they're the real specialty because they only come out at a certain time of year. And, you know, when they capture them, that's a real celebration in the villages. So, you know, it's great to be able to try that. And for everywhere from tasting them in the markets to having them sprinkled over, you know, a beautiful dish in one of the more high-end restaurants there. They've got a fantastic restaurant scene as well.
Mm. You also did a microfinance tour in Oaxaca, visiting some female business owners in small villages.
Yeah, so it was actually recommended to somebody that I met in one of the other towns we visited. And it's a company called Envaya, and they have set up these microfinance loans for the women only in communities around Oaxaca City. And basically what they need to do is team up with three women and each of them start a little business or, you know, use funds to be able to grow a business. So that was really interesting because we visited, I think, six women throughout the day. And basically the way that it works is all of the money that we pay for the tours is what goes in to fund those microfinance loans that they give to them. So, you know, these were helping women to have little businesses, everything from a snack stand where, you know, the lady was able to buy herself a new deep fryer so she could make her potato chips to sell, you know, on the weekends at the markets, through to a woman who was raising pigs. So it really could be anything. Another woman was making rugs using natural dyeing methods. So, yeah, it was really just an interesting way to get out into those small villages, understand a little bit more about their lives, and, of course, have the opportunity to buy some things along the way.
Mm. Yeah, no, good thing. And, of course, you can marvel, too, at the ancientness of Oaxaca, and even the local indigenous people don't know where a lot of it came from. It's so old.
It's fascinating.
You also found a secret surfing spot in Mexico, in Puerto Escondido.
It is, and it's one of those places, you know, it was definitely the highlight of our trip, and it's so good that you almost don't want to tell anyone about it, but here I am talking about it. We'd heard about it because of the surf, so anyone who knows surfing knows Puerto Escondido is Mexico's pipeline, and so my husband was attracted definitely for that reason, but it's just such a beautiful spot on the Pacific coast, really not, it's you know, tourism is there, but it hasn't reached the heights that it has in places like Puerto Vallarta or Cancun. So you won't find massive high-rises everywhere and all-inclusive resorts. It's really more of a laid-back, chilled-out vibe. It's super cheap. You know, there's lots of beautiful places to chill out on the beach. And in terms of surfing, it's a fantastic place to go and learn to surf or just to improve on your skills as well.
Yeah, fantastic recommendation. Right. Now, you also went to the Yucatan Peninsula, which is, of course, another thing entirely in the great home, of course, of the Mayan civilization.
Yes.
The colonial splendor of Merida and so on. Tell me about some of the things you saw there.
Yeah, so that was at the end of our trip, and it was really another world because, you know, going from, we'd stuck mostly to the Pacific coast and then to head over to the Caribbean. You know, and a lot of people are talking about Tulum at the moment, and it's really becoming more and more known. It's drawing people away from that Cancun strip, bringing them down. And I guess, you know, it's one of those places that people are already saying you should have been there 10 years or 20 years ago when it was, you know, the traditional hippie sort of shacks on the beach. So we were curious to check that out. Before we got to Tulum, though, we stayed in Merida, which is the capital of that area. And that was a real surprise. You know, we'd met some people and they were just so thankful that we had found, when they heard we were Australian, that we had found Merida and we'd come to visit. And, you know, in a it had a similar vibe to Oaxaca with the beautiful, colourful buildings, but just a really great, buzzy city, really set up for tourism. So a nice, easy place for people to visit if it's their first time. But it also offers it that craft and lots of cultural events. The government there actually puts on a different event every night of the week. So you can go and watch some cultural dancing one night and then there might be a jazz performance the next night. So lots of things to do in the city.
I remember once we sat there in a square and there was a fantastic xylophone band. Stay with me here for a second, because there were about eight people with all their with big xylophones, and they played a version of Hello Dolly. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's fantastic, right? And there's some, you know, great bars, great restaurants. It seems like it's definitely a place that's on the rise. So we really loved Merida. And then, yeah, being able to just chill out in Tulum, it was a little bit, how do you say this? It can be a place where it's almost, because it's very popular with a certain crowd, you know, you might have to wait an hour to get a table at a certain restaurant, but then you can also go into the town of Tulum and find, you know, your taco stands that are selling the really cheap street food as well. So it does have both ends of the spectrum.
Plenty of ceviche, I expect, is available.
Absolutely, yeah. The ceviche is awesome.
Did you get out to, because Merida is, of course, a great centre for visiting some of Mexico's most famous ruins, including the Mayan site of Chichen Itza, which is on a, you know, a bucket list for lots of people, and rightly so.
Absolutely.
But, of course, I imagine probably also swarming with tourists, isn't it?
It is, and to be honest, we didn't go because we just heard so many stories about it just being completely overrun with tourists. And, you know, I think if you maybe get there first thing in the morning, it might be okay. But we had a recommendation from somebody in Merida to visit some ruins in Coba instead.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to admit, I hadn't even heard of them until that point. And so we went from Tulum at this stage. So it's about a 40-minute drive away, about the same as what you would drive to Chichen Itza. And, yeah, it was just really interesting and fascinating, particularly because these ruins are set within more of a natural jungle setting. And so you have a guide and they come and explain all of the story to you, but then you can jump on bikes and you can go, you know, ride your way through and almost discover little things throughout it for yourself. And you can also climb to the top of the main pyramid there as well, which is lovely to just get a view of that peninsula and appreciate how incredibly flat it is, you know, and to imagine this civilization, you know, just thriving. It's pretty amazing.
It is. It is pretty amazing. Mexico, it will assault your senses. Celeste, great to talk. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Philip.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.